Let's get over 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm going to preach a little bit to Brother Jorge tonight, but hopefully something that I say will maybe be of influence in your life as well. In fact, this is pretty much a message that I used to use in different places, and I don't think I've preached it in a long, long time, but I thought the thoughts in this message might be helpful to him as he goes to Florida. What is the name of the church, Brother Jorge? I'm sorry? Okay, you heard that. Amen. All right. And it's got a Spanish name because it's a Spanish church. And he got the boy population down there. Do you have any idea what the Hispanic population in that part of Florida is? You were counting them, but got tired. Right. Yeah. I'm gonna have to check and see what the assistant pastors are up to. I'm gonna do a music check in their car. During choir practice tonight, Brother Bragg says that his group for Christmas, the Christmas program, can sing Blue Christmas. And and then he's going to, hello, goodbye. So I don't know what they've been listening to, amen. But anyway, look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul wrote there these words to Timothy. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And let me just speak tonight, and I'll speak to you and to Brother Jorge on the subject of out of season. You see that there in verse number 2, where Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. And thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us to have the privilege of this family being with us and serving with us here for these 5+ years. And Lord, saying goodbye is difficult, and it's hard to see somebody leave, especially that has been such a friend and a loyal, faithful worker. And God, I pray that you'll just bless the ministry down there in Florida and give them the grace they'll need in these transition days. And I pray this message might be an encouragement to him tonight and to all of us in some way. We'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Brother Jorge is not my son in the faith. He was led to Christ by and discipled and trained by others. But we do have a special bond that has been developed over these 5 years by just laboring together here in the ministry. It's been a lot of fun. You can just tell, you know, from the comments he makes when he gets up in a service like this, that he brings a lot of good times to the things that we do together. We've had a lot of good times, and we've had many times of discussion. how to handle decisions, how to handle problems, how to make decisions for the Spanish ministry. We have mourned over people in the Spanish ministry. We have rejoiced over people in the Spanish ministry. There's some fine, fine folks sitting upstairs in that department up there. I mean, just some fine people. And I rejoice in what God has done there. Now he goes to lead and pastor an assembly of God's born-again baptized people and his own people in his own language. He'll be everything is Spanish there. They don't have they'll have an English department. That's what they need, all right? And in fact, you're going to be, what did I tell you, is it about 12 miles, 12, 15 miles from my folks, I think. The city limit, yeah, from where my folks live. So I'm hoping that if we get down to see Dad and Mom, we can get down to see Jorge and Karina at the same time on a trip like that. But February sounds like a good time of the year to make that. Amen. And so, now he goes down there to have his own church. Now, Brother Jorge, I'd like to show you just one thing that Paul said to Timothy in the second letter that he wrote. Paul left Timothy to pastor the church at Ephesus. Timothy is a young pastor. And this is Paul's last correspondence with Timothy. Paul will soon be executed. He'll go on to his reward. And so chapter 4 is his last words. Last words are always significant and important. And so he writes to Timothy. He says in verse number 1, he basically reminds Timothy that Timothy, you're going to give an account to God for your ministry. He said, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, and is appearing in his kingdom. God's the one who created you. Jesus is the one who called you. And Timothy, you're going to give an account someday for your ministry. Brother Jorge, I won't talk about that tonight, but that is the truth. We will give an account someday for our ministries. And you'll give an account to the Lord for the ministry of the church there at Haines City. And in verse number 2, he gives Timothy the subject matter of the messages. He tells him, preach the word. And, of course, that's the subject matter of the word of God. Timothy should, what's that? There is problems tonight. There was problems this morning, too. I'm just going to go to here, okay? We'll just turn it off. And he said, preach the word. And he said, preach. And the word preach means to herald divine truth. And I said some weeks ago during the last bus bonanza that when I think of the word herald, I think of the fellow in the back of the chariot with the trumpet. And the king is given a message, and he wants it read in all the villages and all the little hamlets where folks live. And the chariot pulls into the hamlet or the village, and the man blows the trumpet. And then the man stands with the scroll, and he unrolls the scroll, and he begins to read, hear ye, hear ye. He's a herald. He lifts up his voice, and he begins to read the message. And it's not his message. It's the message that the king wanted all the people to hear. And Brother Jorge, that's our responsibility. As you move into that realm of pastoring a church and overseeing the entire ministry, preach the word. The word of God will do the work. It really will. You know, you have to just forget your feelings. Sometimes you feel like you flop, and sometimes you feel like, man, that was a great sermon. It really went over good, and it did the least amount of good. And sometimes you feel like, boy, this was an egg, and you find out later it did the most amount of good. So, you know, you just preach the Bible. Let the Bible do the work. Let the Bible do the work. The Bible works in the hearts of folks, and it'll do good work. But the thing I want to point out to you, brother, is where Paul told Timothy in verse number 2, be instant in season, out of season. Be instant in season, out of season. Now, that word instant means to step up, to be present, to be at hand, to be counted. Timothy, you need to step up, to be present, to be at hand, in season. That word in season, that little phrase right there, means well-timed, opportune, and convenient. So he said, Timothy, you step up, you be present, you be at hand, you step up to the plate, if you will, in those well-timed, opportune, convenient seasons. Can I say, it's not difficult to be instant in season. It's not difficult to step up to the plate and be counted and be present in those well-timed, opportune, convenient seasons. But then he follows right on top of that, right behind that, with the words out of season. And you could take out of season to mean exactly the opposite of in season. So it's poorly timed, inopportune, inconvenient. So, Brother Jorge, this is one of the great lessons that a pastor must learn. And I think the directives here are more than just directives to a preacher. I think the directives here are directives to a pastor. Timothy was a pastor. And, you know, a lot of people can preach. A lot of guys are great preachers, but it's a different call to pastor. And this is what you're going to be doing, overseeing the entire ministry. And I think one of the great lessons a pastor must learn, and believe me, both seasons will come. Both seasons will come. You'll go, I mean, sure as there is a fall and a winter and a summer and a spring, there's an in season in the ministry and there's an out of season in the ministry. And there's a time when it's convenient and it's well-timed and it's opportune and the wind is blowing at your back and you step up and you be present and you be counted and it's not difficult. But there are those other seasons when the wind is blowing in your face and the sky is covered with clouds. It's a poorly timed, inopportune, inconvenient season. And Paul told Timothy, he said, Timothy, you got to learn to be consistent through the ups and downs of the ministry. You don't step up when things are going good and then disappear when things are going bad. You learn to step up and be counted in every season. Every season. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, this is not just true for a pastor. This is a principle that applies to the Christian life. Any realm, anything you're doing. I don't care if you're talking about just being a husband and a wife, a mother and a father. There are seasons when it's convenient. Seasons when it's opportune, it just happens. You feel like you could put the responsibilities on autopilot because it just gets done. And then there are seasons when it is just the opposite. When everywhere you turn, you seem like that you're hitting a brick wall. It may be in marriage, it may be in childbearing, it may be in some responsibility you have at the local church, it may be in your job. And a great principle, a great truth, is to learn to step up and be counted, be present, be at hand, be faithful in season, but also out of season. Brother Jorge, this was not spoken by a novice. God used a man who had a track record of stepping up when it was out of season to write this. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Hold your finger here and in chapter 4. I'll be right back there in a second. Look at chapter 11, 2 Corinthians, and look at verse 23. We've been in this passage before, but let me just, and Lord, just lay this on my heart for him tonight. So if it means nothing to you, I'm sorry, but it'll mean something to him. I know it will, and you can learn from it. Everybody can learn from this. Paul's defending his ministry here, verse 23 of 2 Corinthians 11. He said, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." So 5 times, brother, he was beaten by his own countrymen with 39 stripes. 5 times. Now, 5 times 40 is 200. Right? Minus 5. That's 195 lashes that he received from his own countrymen. I'm telling you. "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of waters. Perils of robbers. Perils by mine own countrymen. Perils by the heathen. Perils in the city. Perils in the wilderness. Perils in the sea. Perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, watchings often," that means without sleep, "in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." Now, that's quite a list, folks. And he's basically testifying to what his ministry's been like. And then he says in verse number 28, "beside those things that are without," all those external things, those are all things that were external, the shipwreck and the beatings and the perils and all that he talked about here, the hunger and the thirst and the sleeplessness, all those things that were from without. Look at what he says in verse 28. "But those things that are without, that besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." And brother, you talked about the load. You've known a little bit about that. Pastoring those Spanish people. Paul said the load of all the churches was more than all of those physical things he faced. All the sleeplessness and all the hunger and getting whipped 195 times. And he said that's heavy. But when you get up underneath and shoulder the load of a church, of a people, not always convenient. And it's not always opportune. And it's not always well-timed. And a seasoned veteran said to a young pastor, Timothy, if there's something you got to learn, you're going to have to learn in those seasons when it is not convenient and it's not opportune. You step up, you be counted, you be faithful when it's out of season. When it's out of season. And you have to learn that. And that's not easy to do. Let me give you some out-of-season times, Brother Jorge, that I think may you may go through as you pastor those good folks down there in Florida. An out-of-season time, first of all, I think about when we've sinned. When we've sinned. You're looking at men with feet of clay. Make no secret about that, friend. There's no difference in preacher flesh than the flesh that's in the pew. It's all flesh. Or like the black preacher said, it's all the flush. That's exactly what it is. It's junk. It's trash. And the same temptations and the same weaknesses and the same failures, if you will, that face any Christian or tempt any Christian, face and tempt a pastor. And look over at Romans chapter 7. Look what Paul wrote himself. I referred to this morning. Chapter 7 in verse number 14. He gives a testimony about what goes on in his life. And between good and evil, and between wrong and right, and his desires. And he says in verse number 14 of Romans 7, for we know that the law is spiritual. But look at these next four words. This is the Apostle Paul, but I am carnal. Sold under sin. And brother, there are times when you will be carnal. We can't help it. There are times, all of us, there are times when we're carnal. And Paul talks about it in verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. He says in verse number 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Look at what he says. For to will is present with me. I want to. I want to do right. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. That's the old man. He said, man, the new man is wanting to do right. I want to do right, but there's this war. There's this conflict I find in me that when I want to do right, I have a hard time doing right. You ever been there? Sure. And this is the Apostle Paul. And he goes on down through here for the verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. He's given a testimony here. He found himself a wretched man. Look at verse number 24. Look at what Paul the apostle said. Oh, wretched man that I am. That's incredible. The apostle Paul, a wretched man. Yes. Wretched in his old nature, wretched in his carnal desires, wretched in all that was the Adamic, that was Adamic nature about him, wretched in all of that, Brother Jorge. And whether we like it or not, occasionally that man rises to the top. That man dominates. That man rules. And we yield to him. And you sin, and when you sin, now I'm not talking about sins that would disqualify a man from coming to the pulpit and pastoring a church. And I believe there are some sins that would disqualify a man from that type of thing. But I'm not talking about those kind of sins. I'm talking about when you blow it. I'm talking about when you lose your temper at Karina. I'm talking about when you lose your temper at one of your children. I'm talking about when you preach in the flesh and you're preaching in the flesh. You say something that God did not want you to say. I mean, you're in the flesh. No carnal nature. It's dominant. And as soon as that happens, here comes Satan around and he begins to work. You don't deserve to preach and you don't deserve to be a pastor. You don't deserve to have a pulpit and you don't deserve to serve God. And you shouldn't be up there and you should. And you know what? He's right. He's right. What's he telling us that we don't already know? If we got what we deserve, we'd be burning in the devil's hell. Anything above and beyond that is a blessing of God. But friend, God called you to this church. He's called you to this ministry. That is your place. And you labor and you strive and you pray to be spiritual. But in those times when the carnal Jorge comes out like it will, like it does with the carnal Terry, like it does with the carnal Jason, like it does with the carnal anybody. When those times come out, you got to step up. And be in your place, even though you don't feel like it. It's out of season. I remind you about the Apostle Peter. Peter, he denied Christ three times. The last time with swearing and cursing. Three times he denied Christ. The last time was swearing and cursing, and he quit. When that cock crew and he heard the, he bawled and he quit, and he did not go to the cross. He was not there when Jesus died, and he did not believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. And Peter said in John chapter 21, I go a fishing. And when he went, he wasn't going to go out and just throw a hook in the water and try to catch some fish for some leisure, brother. What he was doing was he was going back to his previous occupation, the occupation he was involved in before Jesus passed by and said, follow me. He quit. And he took six other men with him. Six others. He's out on that boat fishing, a commercial veteran fisherman. And the Bible says he fished all night and caught nothing. Nothing. And brother, if you ever turn back from what God has called you to do and where God has placed you to go back into to do what you would prefer to do or what you, some previous work that you were involved in, if you get out of the will of God, that'll be the sum total of all the blessings. You'll catch nothing. 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 But Jesus would not let Peter stay in that boat. And he came to the seashore, and he called Peter back into fellowship with himself, and he had bread and fish upon the fire, and he put Peter back into the ministry, put Peter back in his place, and Peter went on to become one of the pillars of the New Testament church in the book of Acts in the city of Jerusalem, and he penned some scriptures for us that we've read and enjoyed and been blessed by. And I'm just saying, friend, you've got to step up, you've got to be counted, you've got to be present. It's out of season when you sin. When you do wrong, find a place of confession, find a place of repentance, find a place of forgiveness, and then step up and be counted. It's out of season. You got to learn to step up and be counted. Out of season. Out of season. When you've sinned. Number two, when the newness wears off. When the newness wears off, and believe me, it will. In Acts chapter 13, don't turn to it. They got those verses there where they prayed and they ordained Paul and Barnabas to the gospel ministry. And they had a wonderful time. And the church at Antioch sent them off. And in verses 4 and 5, they go to Seleucia, they go to Cyprus, they go to Salamis. They preached Paul and Barnabas and John, Mark. And then they went to Paphos. And on the island of Paphos, Elymas, a sorcerer, a demonic man, withstood them. And maybe for the first time now, they're facing demonic oppression. Demonic warfare. It's real. And if you haven't experienced it preaching in a pulpit up in that Spanish department, you will. Where it's very obvious in the message, the hordes of hell are just demonic. And brother, I'm telling you something, it got tough. And all the excitement and all the newness and all the fun of this missionary journey and, boy, the church sending it off and a reception and cookies and punch and everybody coming by and shaking your hand and a new ministry and new people. All of that's gone. And then there's just demonic, satanic attack on you. When all of that is worn off and the Elamuses show their face, the demonic pressure. John Mark left. He quit. Went back to Jerusalem. And Paul and Barnabas stayed at it. Stayed with it and stayed at it. And Brother Jorge, if I could tell you, brother, many times grief comes before glory. Death comes before life. Labor comes before reward. And the only place where success comes before work is in the dictionary. Amen. And when the newness wears off and it's not convenient and it's not well-timed and it's not opportune and the excitement of newness is gone, you got to step up and be in your place. And by the way, brother, I am confident beyond all confidence that you will do this. This is just a little boost, a little shot in the arm to keep you going. I'm confident in you, as confident as I can be. But these are out-of-season times when the newness wears off. When we've sinned, when the newness wears off. Number three, another out-of-season time, when people disappoint you. When people disappoint you. Now, you've had some of that in the Spanish ministry. Here. But it could be multiplied there. Larger work. Church running about 190, I think you said. 190, 200. When people disappoint you, you know, it's one thing to be opposed by those who hate you. And Paul had that. Paul had that. Now, remember in Philippi, when he was in jail, the Bible, he said that one of those guys was preaching out of contention, supposing to add to his trouble. Here's a guy supposed to be a fellow preacher, and he's making it harder on Paul when Paul's in jail. Now, it's one thing when those people oppose you, but it's another thing altogether when a Demas forsakes you, having loved this present world. It's another thing when a man you put confidence in, like Barnabas, has a rift with you and he leaves. When people disappoint you, it's an out-of-season time. And you need to learn to step up and be present, be at hand in those out-of-season times when people disappoint you. And it will happen. And when that happens, brother, just remember that little old song. I don't know how you'd sing it in Spanish, but in English we sing it. Earthly friends may prove untrue, doubts and fears assail. But there's one who cares for you, one who will not fail. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. And who are you serving anyway, brother? You're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's who you're serving. The measure of your ministry will be approved or disapproved by Him. When people disappoint you, it's an out-of-season time. And then let me hasten to say this, Brother Jorge. This is a little bit of a strange thing, but I think, and you may have already been there to a degree. I remember some of the conversations we had in the office. It's an out-of-season time when God leaves you for a while. And I'm not talking about losing your salvation. Can't lose your salvation. I'm talking about what happened to Hezekiah when the Bible says God left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. There are times when you just, the way is so clear, the path is so open, the decisions come like this, and it seems like every decision you make, the decision turns to gold. It just works. Boom, boom, boom. There's momentum. God is everywhere. You walk in your office, God is good to be here today. You prepare sermons, God is there. You pray, God is there. You make decisions, God is there. And then, God leaves. And you go in the office and it's God, and there's no answer. And you read your Bible, and there's no voice. And you pray, and there's no tug on the other end. And you try to write a sermon, and you rip the page, you get half of it down, you rip the page up, throw it away, you try to get another sermon going, and it's like, where is God? Job went through it. He said there, chapter 23, verse 8, 9, and 10, he said, I went ahead of me to find God. I could not find God. He said, I looked behind me and I could not find God. I went on the left hand and I could not find God. I went on the right hand and I could not find God. Job said, I can't find God anywhere in my life right now. I can't find God in my soul winning. I can't find God in my prayer time. I can't find God in my Bible study. I can't find God in my marriage. I can't find God in my home. I can't find God in my labor, my decision making. I can't find God anywhere. I'll promise you, you'll go through that. You know what Job said? I went ahead, behind, left, right. I could not find God. But He knoweth the way that I take. And what Job said, Brother Jorge, was, I can't see God, but I know God can see me. And that's all that matters. And because God keeps His eye on me, and because God can see me, He said, I will not let the words of His mouth go unesteemed. I will keep His commandments. I will be what I'm supposed to be. I'll do what I'm supposed to do. I'll step up. I'll be counted. I'll be in my place. I'll be faithful. When it's out of season, when I can't find God anywhere, I will continue to serve Him faithfully because He's watching. And you'll be there, I promise you. And I can tell you this, Brother Jorge, as sure as these out-of-season times come in life, they come back around to end season. And then it comes around again to out-of-season. I think there's a reason Paul used the word season. We understand that. A time. There's a time when it works, it's convenient, it's opportune, it's well-timed. Everything happens, it clicks. The momentum, everything is there. You're here. But as sure as you're in the ministry, brother, you're going to come down here where it's out of season. And it's just learning to step up and be faithful and be counted. Hey, that works on your bus route. That works in your Sunday school class. That works on the instruments. That works in the choir. That works in the bus ministry meeting. There are times when it happens. God is there, and everybody knows it. And there's time when God is gone. And it's out of season. And you just have to learn to step up, be faithful, be present in season and out. And I have all the confidence in the world in you, brother, that you will. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Father, bless this man. Thank you for all that your book teaches us. My. And Lord, the reality of your truth. And these out of season times do come. And then before long it's end season. And then before long it's out of season. And it's a cyclical matter. And I pray, oh God, you give Brother Jorge the grace, the power, the strength, the wisdom, the might to step up and be counted in all seasons of his ministerial experience. Lord, for somebody sitting in the pew tonight, in some area of their life, it's not real convenient right now to be faithful. I pray that you'll give them the grace to step up and be counted when it's out of season. Bless our brother as he goes. Use him, I pray, in a great way. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let's stand.